From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Monday morning edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning. Hope all of you had a great Thanksgiving weekend. Have not talked to you since Thursday night with the incident analysis. Some things have certainly happened since then. We'll recap a little today. We'll look forward today. You know, we don't do a ton of rehashing, so we're gonna spin it as we always do, forward, not spin it propaganda wise, just spin it forward. Sorry.
I thought it was a great season, really. You know, looking back.
So we'll do some stuff like that. The basketball team showed well over the weekend in Destin, going 1-1 in that tournament. They beat Baylor the first night. Baylor was an NIT team last year. Don't know what they are or not this year. And then losing to Cincinnati in the finals. So to this point, two losses, Cincinnati and Butler, not the end of the world at all for Ole Miss, as they are trying to build that program under Kermit Davis. So we'll talk a little about those things, tell you every single day about the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. Hope many of you use them to smoke that turkey for Thanksgiving. Stop in every single day, get the lunch specials, get the ribs, get the daiquiris, lots of flavors to that. A sheep is $3.99, as big as 44 ounces if you so wish. You can get the bottomless refills on fountain drinks for 49 cents. You buy the stadium cup, every time you come in after that, it is 49 cents for that refill. Many different deals to help you out, the SpeedPass Plus app, the Exxon Mobile Rewards, and much more. We're there with the Oxford Exxon in Blue Sky, and again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are. Clark Ford is in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is that number. Corey and the people there at Clark Ford are tremendous at what they do. They want to be your truck guy. They want to be your car guy. They'll prove it to you. So call the number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you are looking for. Simple as that. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. From there, it's up to you. You get your quote. You can shop it around. You can use it as a baseline. I mean, whatever you want to do, it's your time. You're going to end up coming back to Clark Ford because he's going to get you right to that bottom line. And he is he's going to do it without all that hassle, without all the haggle. He's going to take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience, and we'll make it even better for you at the end of your deal. Tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. Any of our family of podcasts, and you'll save $500 off the bottom line. Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900.
Just a little bit of basketball news, too, because I'm going to forget this. John Rothstein last night reporting that Ole Miss will be a member of the preseason NIT next year at Madison Square Garden to kick off the 2019 season. Also in that field will be Syracuse, the home team, and Oklahoma State, a fourth team, not yet named for that, but after getting Butler for a home and home, you get Baylor and Cincinnati schedule looking up a little bit for Ole Miss the last few seasons.
Yeah, you know, Andy always scheduled pretty aggressively. I think Kermit might schedule even more aggressively than Andy did. And there's
it's on the coaches. It's also the pavilion. I think people are a little better about coming, doing some home and homes, just a little bit of everything.
And the airport's gotten a little bigger.
Okay. Yeah,
you can,
that's fair.
You can get in and out. There were, I mean, 5 years ago, you couldn't get in and out of Oxford, really, or it was hard.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a lot easier to get in and out of Oxford. Because if you had to fly to Memphis and then get on a bus and go to Oxford and play at the game and then get out of the game and get back on a bus, and a lot of teams don't want to do that, not in basketball season. And you played at the Tad Pad. The visiting locker room facilities were just absolutely awful. Arena experience was not exactly fun. And Ole Miss was a program that you didn't have much to gain if you were a big program. Now
they could definitely get you at home, and then when that happens, you go, well, that didn't help us at all.
Yeah.
So
now you get the SEC is much better. You get a Power 5 opportunity on the road, and people are interested in it. And it's not earth-shattering news, but it's a big deal to get invited to that tournament, to play at Madison Square Garden early in the year when people are just starting.
Nationally televised games.
Yeah, it's cool.
Not just SC Network, nationally televised.
Yeah, like, you know, ESPN or whatnot.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I thought the tournament they played in this weekend was good. They played a Baylor team that's going to have a decent RPI. They played a Cincinnati team that's probably going to have a pretty good RPI. Found out a lot about themselves. I didn't know we'd start with basketball, but we'll start here real quick. They are – I had people ask me, so what do you think? Well, I mean, look, I didn't watch all 40 minutes of either game. We had Thanksgiving on Friday at my parents', and we came back here, and I may have had a couple of drinks and was just hanging out with Carson, and I watched some of it, and Ole Miss made shots, and Ole Miss defended the three really well, and it won. On Saturday, I watched a little more of it. Ole Miss did not make shots. Terrence Davis did not score, and Ole Miss did not defend the three particularly well. I think since he was 6 of 14 from three, Cincinnati did what Cincinnati always does. They kind of gunk up the game. They create turnovers. They bother you. Ole Miss only forced 7 Cincinnati turnovers. Didn't shoot well from three at all. Didn't defend the three particularly well. Got beat on the boards, and Terrence Davis didn't score. Ole Miss will win 0 SEC games playing that game. If they play the Baylor game, they're going to win some SEC games. So you saw kind of what they're capable of. And even in that game, Terrence Davis only scored 7 points, 6 or 7, and he got in foul trouble. Breean Tyree carried them on Friday. Devontae Shuler carried them on Saturday. They need Terrence Davis to do 2 things. 1, they need him to score. 2, they need him to quit taking his offense to the defensive end of the floor. And he did that the other night. He's got him in foul trouble, got him sluggish. Kermit ultimately took him out. But he played 31 minutes on Saturday against Cincinnati and didn't score. That won't work. He's got to be 15 to 20 a night, and he's got to play defense without thinking about his offense. Otherwise, the ceiling on this team's pretty low.
So we'll switch it back over. On Friday morning, Wesley McGriff was relieved of his duties as defensive coordinator. A lot of coverage of that at rebelgrove.com. I'm going to update the hot board a little bit today. That's available as well. And then real quickly, if you are not a subscriber, you've been on the fence about subscribing, today be a good day for that. The Cyber Monday deal. All over the internet, you get specials. Rebelgrove.com, one of those places. You're used to it. You've seen it before, but if you haven't taken advantage, another day of it here, you can get $99 in the Team Gear Fan Shop, any gear you'd like, Saints, Thunder, Cubs, Pelicans, whatever, or Ole Miss, out of the
ULM.
Out of the fan shop if you sign up for an annual subscription with rebelgrove.com. The URL on that is olemiss.rivals.com/99cyber. So you can go there, take advantage of that deal that is while supplies last. It could go into tomorrow, but don't take that chance because who knows how long it will be there. There are only a certain number of passes network-wide. And when they're done, they're done. So you can find that again now at rebelgrove.com. All right, so Thursday night played out as it did, 35-3 Mississippi State. We had multiple extracurricular activities throughout the evening, including in the post game. And then Friday morning, the first thing falls from the season that was. We've been talking about this for a while. We've told you this on the podcast and at rebelgrove.com. It's not over, but it's probably over for a little while. They want to make sure all the coaches stay on the road recruiting through the early signing period. I think any further movement, at least on the Ole Miss end, comes after the early signing period or pretty close to it. Now, you know, Longo gets offered a head job, somebody else leaves. That's a whole different deal. I mean, you look at that. Longo's been mentioned for a couple spots. We all know John Sumrall is very tight with Neil Brown. Neil Brown is a hot commodity all over the country right now, and I know there's already been some temporary feelers put out about potential Sumrall interest to join him as a defensive coordinator should he land one of these spots. So
Purdue, Louisville,
Texas
and then, Tech.
Yeah, the report came out yesterday saying Tech probably looking elsewhere, but Neil Brown is at least on a list somewhere at Texas Tech. So those are the ones that stick out. So from that end, we got that, and then anything from the other side probably coming a little later for Ole Miss. But
are you surprised that it's this small amount of initial turnover given? I mean, I'm gonna keep this very real here. I've never seen this much acrimony around this program since I've been on the beat, and I've been on the beat since March of 2008.
You and I, we didn't talk a lot this week, over the weekend, but we had a quick conversation about what's this like compared to some other seasons. And, you know, 2010 is the one that everybody brings up. 2010 going into 2011, that period is the one that's most similar to this, but they're not even hitting. And now look, there's probation, whatever. But I need to make that caveat. They're not even hitting on recruiting the way they kind of were at that point. You know, in 2010, whether it be the 10 class or the 11 class, I mean, we spent our time talking about C.J. Johnson, a five-star, Nick Brazel, Dante Moncrief, Tobias Singleton, all these dudes that you said, hey, you're just a year or two from Cotton Bowls. I mean, all jokes aside, it's the truth.
No, they were a year or two from Cotton Bowls,
and here's all this offensive talent. I mean, it was crap, but at the time, people were even somewhat excited about Zach Stout coming in from Iowa Western. There was a lot of stuff kind of going on right there. So it spiraled out of the way quickly. But right now, we're talking about, you know, we spent a lot of time over the – we've asked Ross this question multiple times. We spent so much time with Ross going, you know, what do you have to do to build back public trust? What do you have to do to build back this, build back that? Now that's the football program too. Matt Luke has that problem now. How do you build back public trust? How do you do this? How do you do this? And it's not – again, Matt was put in this situation, but at the end of the day, you're in this situation. So –
I always compare it to politics.
Yeah, it's fair.
If you're a Hogan Gidley, our friend Hogan, he works now at the highest level of politics.
Mm-hmm.
But you're always gauging approval ratings. It's not the end all be all, but you kind of know where you are right now. How do the people feel? Because you're in the people business.
Your constituents.
Yeah. Let's say you're the – Hogan used to work for Huckabee.
He did.
You're governor of Arkansas, right? You're always kind of getting a feel for – how do the people of Arkansas feel about the guy in the office in Little Rock?
Yeah.
You know, you want that approval rating as close to 50% as possible. You'd like it to be 80 or 90, but, you know, you understand there's going to be times that it's hovering in the 40s. You want to bump that thing up. Because it gets down in the 20s, you're in trouble. And this is very unscientific, what I'm about to say, because we've not done any polling data. And message boards, and I love our message board, encourage you to be a part of the message board, but the reality is the majority, the overwhelming majority of our subscribers never post. So I'm basing this on post, I'm basing this on Twitter, I'm basing this on emails and text. And
you're basing this on the absolute most engaged segment of the fan base.
Yes. So the number that I'm going to give you is too low, I think. I would put his approval rating right
who?
Now.
Who?
Matt Luke's.
Okay, gotcha.
I would put Matt Luke's approval rating at somewhere between 5 and 7%. And I would put Ross Bjork / the full administration's at about the same damn number. People are, they're angry.
They don't trust them.
They don't believe them. They don't trust them. They think everything is spin and propaganda. And they're checking out fast.
They feel like they're not being heard.
Well, they feel like they're being lied to.
Yeah, but it's one and the same.
And heard, yes.
Yeah.
And they want
in their minds, it's, oh, keep giving, keep giving, keep giving, keep giving, and we're just going to run it however we see fit.
Yeah.
Opposed to what you think.
And, you know, I mean, I think you can look at the last couple of games, the game day stuff. It's clear that they're listening.
Yeah, it's been better.
It was much better. I thought the game day stuff at Mississippi State was pretty good.
Yeah.
It just
shows you there's always so much you can do with a team that's not winning football games.
Yeah. Had that game been a win, everybody would have walked out of there going, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Except for the first Finn thing. They gotta kill that.
You hate the first Finn?
It, you know, when that kid and
we had a conversation about what the Shark's actually doing. Is he stalking the band and the cheerleaders? Yeah, is he?
It's, I mean, I'm not making fun. I'm not, but it is.
You're not?
No, I'm not. It's so awkward that it makes you cringe.
You cringed?
Yes. People keep calling it a tradition. No, it's not a tradition. It's something that you're forcing.
The word tradition is used too much.
Yeah, traditions are organic. The odds of that becoming a...
It's just a thing.
The odds of that becoming a beloved
It's a marketing
tradition.
Tool is what it is. It's a marketing tool.
The odds of that becoming a beloved tradition are somewhere between 0 and 0.1.
Little Johnny, that's 2 right now, when he's 10, It's going to be all about the fin.
Got to get there early for the first fin. I'm going to bet against it. If you'd like to bet on it, we can.
I did make you laugh Thursday by calling him an alien can opener. So, I was trying to find jokes because my computer wouldn't pick up the stupid Saints game. I had to watch it from Russell's computer two seats over. And
you handled it fairly well.
And he kept getting annoyed at the Falcons and turning it off.
Yeah, and I'm like, Russell, turn it back on. Yeah. He's like, I don't want to watch it. I'm like, yeah, but I do.
And I made a 28-3 joke at one point that was probably uncalled for. That was probably digging in a little bit at the moment.
Because I said, that is cold.
Because the Saints are just beating the piss out of them, and I'm making a 28-3 joke, and it is what it is.
That was wrong. Yeah. That was wrong.
Anyway. But, yeah, no, you're exactly right.
The approval rating of them as a, quote,
it's very low.
Is incredibly low. I promise you it's no higher than 20.
And the problem is there's no good way to fix it right now. I mean,
there's a way.
With the current regime, there's no way to fix this right now.
I think there is.
Okay, go ahead, and I'll tell you the only ways I think you can fix it. Or do you want me to go first?
You go first.
All right.
I've talked to the majority already. Go ahead.
Winning. Duh. Winning. A recruiting class that features, I'm going to use the wrong adjective here, but those transcendent prospects that change morale of programs, the Robert Kimdichis, the Laramie Tunzels, the Shea Pattersons, the Greg Littles, the C.J. Johnson, because the way that thing went down, things along those lines that go, hey, see what's happening here.
Yes. N'Kobe Dean.
Yeah. Frankly, he's about the only one.
The
right
Gray
now.
Kid, the running back.
Yeah, that's fair. Those are about the only two. So those are not overly likely right now, and that's the main two problem. The other thing, and this is where it gets complicated, so stick with me for a second.
Sure.
Is wholesale change to a staff. Everybody talks about that. That's a way. Okay, fair enough. That is a way. If you make the right hires,
yes,
that is a way. Here's the problem, though, from an economical standpoint, that we always talk about this, but it's true. Matt Luke, everybody around the country knows there's some type of hot seat or fire around this program right now. That's not talking out of school by any means. You're not going to get a bunch of guys come in on one-year deals. Everybody's going to want multi-year deals to come in right now to protect their families, to protect their occupation.
Sure.
To give them some security, because that happened even last year. You had people getting one, two, and even in one instance a three-year deal based off what kind of was going on around everything. Well, when you're having to do some buyouts right now and then you bring in everybody else under more multi-year deals, you're either A, going to have to pay those out and then start all over and just keep getting down in the tank from a financial standpoint, or B, and this is where kind of Ross has a decision to make a little bit, I think, is B, go, hey, I get the stuff. We're building here. We've been on probation. Matt's getting through 2020 no matter what. Because if nothing else, that locks all the multi-year stuff starts evening back out. You get on this clean contract slate, and you sort of can move forward from there. And I think it right now, because of just all the stuff everywhere, there needs to be some type of decisiveness on where this program is headed moving forward.
It's why yesterday when Illinois did what Illinois did.
Yeah, I made fun of it at first, and you made a good point. I kind of went, yeah, you're right. That's
Illinois was at a point where either you're with him or you're not. And if you're not, fire him. Make a change. But if you're going to keep Lovie Smith at Illinois, come out and go, hey, look, we're in. We are going this direction. He fired his defensive coordinator. That was their way of saying we're going to go out and get a good defensive coordinator. Because here's reality. The people that you want are doing well. So the people who you want aren't necessarily motivated to leave where they are. So let's pick let's just make one up. We always use Minnesota Tech. Minnesota Tech had a great year. Their defensive coordinator, Bill Johnson, had a great year. And you're trying to get him to come to Ole Miss. Now, Bill's probably married. Bill's probably got a couple of kids. So you say, hey, you guys got to leave Minnesota Tech. load up the kids, pull the kids out of school, sell the house, pack the house. All the stuff that people forget about, these are real people. All the stuff. Mrs. Johnson's got some friends. You got to leave your friends. You're going to move to Oxford, Mississippi, put the kids in new schools, don't know a damn soul. Going to be more money. But when she says, so what happens if y'all don't win? Because they were bad last year, hon. I looked at their numbers. They were awful. What happens if y'all are awful again? We're moving down there to get fired in November and do this to our kids again? Not taking a one-year deal. I like it here. They like you here. You could have a bad year here next year and probably get another year. Why don't we just stay at Minnesota Tech? Little Johnny really likes his elementary school. He's got friends. He's on a soccer team. He's on a baseball team. Whatever. Little Jenny, I love this dance group she's in. These are real people. You want to move him to Oxford? He's going to say, I want a three-year contract. If you're going to keep doing this, I think Ole Miss is at kind of the place where Illinois is. And I agree with the fans when they say, I'm so tired of hearing the word fair.
Real quick before you go there, because that starts a little bit of a different train of thought. Before we do that, we will tell you quickly the podcast brought to you part by Visit Oxford. Visit OxfordMS.com/events to see all the things going on around town. You got the Oxford Community Market tomorrow from 3 to 6:30 at the Armory Pavilion. Booking cookies with Santa's 3:30 to 6:30 tomorrow at St. John's Catholic Church. And much, much more. You can see all those things at the website, calendar of events. Visit OxfordMS.com. Getting close to Christmas where kids have gone home a little bit. The lights are up around the canopy. The square looking good right now. So
it's almost my favorite time of the year.
Oh, it's a wonderful time of the year too.
We're 10 days away.
Yeah, almost there. You can go wherever you like, whenever you like, and it's nice. So again, visit OxfordMS.com/events.
We always want the college kids to come back. It's good for the economy, but it is nice for they look forward to leaving, and we look forward to them leaving.
Yeah.
If you live here, it's the greatest 3 weeks of the year.
Yeah.
It truly is. You're a jerk, Neil. Registration for the spring soccer season and the Oxford Park Commission has started. If you played in the fall, and you're listening to this, you should be in school. But if your son or daughter played in the fall, the cost to rejoin is just $35. You'll rejoin your current team. For those signing up for the first time, it's $55 for your kid to play in the spring. Leagues are open for ages 4 to 15. For more information, visit OxfordParkCommission.com. The podcast also brought to you by Megan Phillips with LAH Real Estate. She's the person to call for all your real estate needs in the Birmingham area. With almost a decade of experience, Megan's knowledge and expertise can help you buy or sell your home today. So visit our website, MeganMPhillips.com. That's MeganMPhillips.com. Or call Megan at 205-602-7929. Again, 205-602-7929. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home and all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you can want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person, all without having to press 10 buttons, without a 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. And with Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. OUB also offers online bill pay and mobile check deposit using its online app. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. And we're brought to you by Harry Alexander. My 10 weekend thoughts are up at rebelgrove.com. If you are listening to this and you're not a subscriber, like Chase said earlier, today's a good day. You can go read thought number one for free, and then you can hit the button and you can sign up for a year of rebelgrove.com, get $99 in free team gear, and then enter that sign in and you can read thoughts 2 through 10. Includes the drink of the week, links, lots of basketball, lots of football. It's all there, and it's brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. HarryAlexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you are looking for, and then send him an email, ha@HarryAlexander.com.
Okay, so go ahead. Fair word.
I don't like the word fair. This isn't Oxford Park Commission. You know, being fair is not really important right now. There are no participation trophies. You know, when you sign your son up for seven-year-old OPC soccer, what do you want? You want him to go have a good time, get some exercise, learn how to be part of a team. You play, and so he plays for the Tigers. And when the Tigers play the Lions, oh, it's fun if the Tigers score more goals than the Lions, but does it really matter? No.
Everybody's going to get some orange slices and a juice box.
And at the end of the year, when the boys have had some fun together and the parents have gotten to know each other a little bit, you'll go to Pizza Hut or Lost Pizza or wherever, and you'll have a little pizza party. Everybody get a couple slices of pepperoni.
Participation trophy.
Parents will slip off, have a beer, and it'll be all good. That's fair. This is big-time college football. Matt Luke got paid $3 million. Fair is out the window. No one deserves – he deserves more time. No. It's a decision you have to make as an administration. And something I tell my kids all the time, and you tell your kid, I'm sure, when she gets older, decisions have consequences. Always, good or bad. Decisions have consequences. Doesn't deserve anything. He deserves the contract he got guaranteed. And I don't know what the buyout language is. And frankly, I think Ole Miss is chicken, you know what, for hiding the buyout language. I'll be honest with you. That's crap. Do what you want, but it looks elusive. So let's say, I don't even know what the buyout is. Let's say it's $6, $7 million. That's what's fair, whatever you negotiated. At some point, it's not about, well, he deserves more time. Why? Is he the right guy for the job? And if you think he is, this is where I think you can start making the argument. At these press conferences starting tomorrow, stop with the robotic stuff. Well, we just got to work. So you haven't been working? They paid you $3 million. You understand what I'm saying? Of course he's working. No, you got to do something different. We've got to bring in better people. We've got to be more whatever. You can't just platitude this thing. No one believes you anymore. They don't believe you as an administration, and they don't believe you as a coaching staff. You've got to be more engaged. Not with BS, but with the truth. Transparency. It always works.
Yeah, because it's this deal where you and I both do it, speaking of robotically, kind of robotically, where we seem to put every sentence with this clause of, Matt's a really good guy. That's not without question. You can critique someone without questioning their character or yes. Their personality or how they treat their family. Those are that should be givens by this point without needing that clause. We all like Matt Luke. Matt Luke is a really good guy, but that's not really the point we're talking about. It's like what Neil wrote a lot in 10 Thoughts that you can read. By signing up, or it might have even been thought one. I don't know. You know, Matt's got a press conference tomorrow where
he's thought three.
Okay, as he said, everybody knows that Matt Luke grew up a diehard Ole Miss fan, has tons of memories, has tons of relatives, is as ingrained in this university as any family out there, pretty much.
Yeah.
A lot of people love Ole Miss, and a lot of people that love Ole Miss are very angry and or apathetic right now.
Yeah.
Thousands.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest advice that you had and that I have too, because I talk to so many people that get very frustrated by the it's my 42nd Egg Bowl or I love Ole Miss or whatever, yeah. Because they've kind of gotten to the point where that's not the point. The point is, hey, let's hear about the plan to winning football games, the plan to recruiting better athletes, the plan to, you know, if you deem it necessary, replacing coaches to hire better coaches that can do what we're talking about between winning and recruiting. It just needs to be a shift. There's got to be a shift away from, you know, we're all family, we've been trying to get through this hard time, to we don't have the NCAA over us. We're in the SEC West. It's time to win football games. That's where this is.
Example: how bad when you? Because I'm going to give you a non-Ole Miss example. I give you an Ole Miss example too. I'll do the non-Ole Miss example first. I've cheered for the Cubs all of my life. I watch way too much Cubs baseball. I give away way too much of my summer. I'll be driving down the road with my family in the car, and I'm following pitch by pitch on this stupid app. I go to Wrigley Field, and it's my happy place. Cold, hot, rainy, perfect. I'm happy there. Peaceful. And now I take my son, and it's even better. And good Lord willing, and what else, Carson, is 12, 9 years from now, I'll take him to a baseball game, and I'll buy him a beer. And it'll be great. We love Chicago. It's fun. It's neat. It's a family thing between me and him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, all good.
There's emotion there. He wears his Cub jersey, and he got to meet Javier Baez, and it was so exciting, and he buzzed for 3 days, and all of that. That does not make me qualified to manage the Cubs. Does not make me qualified to manage the Cubs. And I really don't care whether Joe Maddon loves the Cubs or not. I want him to win. I don't care if he loves the fans or not. I don't care if it means something more spiritual to him than winning a baseball game or not. Just go win.
Sean Payton has spent most of his career wishing he was in Dallas.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you care?
No. He's going to play Dallas this coming Thursday.
I promise you at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium, I promise you this. You and I talked about this, but
yeah.
The listeners didn't hear.
Yeah, that's fine.
There are people in the stands at Vaught-Hemingway every Saturday who they go to the game, and they get there a little early, and they remember going to Vaught-Hemingway with their dad. Mom and dad, I'm just making up a dad.
You're painting a scenario. Go ahead.
Dad took he or she to the games when they were kids, and it was fun. Maybe you drove up from Jackson, or you drove down from Memphis, or you drove over from wherever, and it was your time. And you went into the Grove, and you tailgated, and you saw the same friends that you saw week after week, and you went to the game, and you cheered for the Rebels, and now Dad's gone.
Y'all split some barbecue nachos, and you always went to the Rebel shop and got one trinket of something every time you came.
And now Dad's gone. He's passed away.
Yeah.
And you go to the game, and that's the 3 or 4 hours of your week that you feel spiritually close to your father. That's powerful. It's the power of sports. That person, I promise you, loves Ole Miss in a way that is difficult to evaluate. The person's not qualified to be the head coach. Loving Ole Miss does not make you qualified. If I'm an Ole Miss fan, I don't care whether the guy on the sideline loves Ole Miss or not. I want him to want to win. I want that son of a bitch to be driven to win. I'm going to tell you this. I don't think Nick Saban loves Alabama at all. I'm not convinced Nick Saban likes Alabama fans any.
No.
In fact, I'm fairly convinced that he does not like the majority of them.
They annoy him.
They bother him. He wishes that they would just go away or just do what he says to do when he says to do it and then leave him alone. He's winning. They don't care. That needs to stop. It needs to quit being a talking point. Frankly, it completely needs to go away.
It's created a strange deal now where,
yes,
as they start going into assistant coach hires, it's making it a negative that you had any association with Ole Miss in the past. And it could, because it's carrying on this thing of, well, is that all you're looking at? Is that what you're doing? You're just finding this guy or this guy or this guy. And again, everything's speculative at this point. There's been no official list of candidates for any job. We're just looking at possibilities, but nobody really.
An example?
Yeah.
Someone brought up Derek Jones the other day, again and again and again. Former Ole Miss defensive back. He's been defensive backs coach
Duke
at
forever.
Duke for a long time.
Yeah.
Is Derek a candidate at Ole Miss? And I said, I don't know. You know what the guy told me? God, I hope not. And so I said, why? We just don't need more Ole Miss guys. Become a negative. My attitude is being an Ole Miss person should not be a positive or a negative in a job search. It should be a non-factor. It shouldn't help you get a job, and it shouldn't prevent you from getting a job. Hire the best people. But you nailed it, Chase. You're in the SEC West. Take a look around the SEC West. Take your red and blue glasses off. Take your conspiracy glasses off and just look at the SEC West. The best program in the country is in it. LSU has just finished a 9-3 season. A&M just went 8-4 in year one under Jimbo Fisher, and they are recruiting at a very high level. Auburn will either bounce back next year with Gus Malzahn, or they'll fire Gus Malzahn and make a big hire. Mississippi State just wrapped up an 8-4 season, nationally ranked, and Arkansas's horrible. But Arkansas's pretty committed to not being horrible. And if you go to Fayetteville, you know that from a facility standpoint and all of that, they're pretty in.
Jones has been at Duke since 2008.
Dude's been there for a decade. So that's where we are. You've got to recruit at a level that allows you to beat some of those teams. Because if you don't beat those teams, the six teams I just mentioned, if you can't beat some of those teams, every year is going to be an absolute train wreck.
Well, I mean, you go down the list that, again, I'm not saying this is a list of candidates for anything. I'm just saying the list of people, Ole Miss people talk about. That's where I'm going with this.
Okay.
Dan Werner. Positives. He led the most successful streak in Ole Miss modern history from an offensive standpoint. He took over play calling after Memphis in 2015, ran it through the Sugar Bowl, and they were pretty freaking unstoppable during that point.
Yes.
He mentored Bo Wallace and Chad Kelly.
He did.
He has national championship rings from Miami with all those quarterbacks. He's been around quarterbacks his whole life. He's a very good quarterbacks coach. No doubt about that at all.
Yeah.
A lot of positives there. He's been at Ole Miss. He's been at Ole Miss multiple times.
Yeah.
There's
two,
a segment.
Two tours.
Yeah. Orgeron and Freeze. There's a segment that gets on him about that. So you look at that. Brian Brown, Appalachian State defensive coordinator. Only been at App State, is the DC 1 year. I'm not saying he is qualified or isn't qualified at this point. But he put together a top 10 defense at Appalachian State this year. They were very, very good. That's an Ole Miss guy. There's that segment that is so focused on that. Positively and negatively. That's
yes.
The funny part about this is you've got the segment that goes, oh, well, hey, we know him. Let's bring him back. Then you got the other segment that goes, hey, we know him. Stay the hell away from him. I mean, it was kind of baffling even this morning. And I get this was probably 35 replies and a student newspaper. I understand that this sample size is not even fair a little bit, okay?
Okay.
Admitting that.
So it's not as scientific as my poll.
Nowhere bad. Close,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Diem this morning ran a what would you like the main trait to be in your chancellor this morning, the poll. Four choices, fundraising, academia, whatever. The number one vote getter was a personal connection to Ole Miss this morning in that poll. And again, it might have been 20 votes at 6 o'clock this morning. I have no idea. I just, when I went, I looked at it and went, I'd be dang. Wow. And it kind of struck me as I went on about my day a little bit and caught my eye.
People everywhere get very provincial. It doesn't, to me, it's not an effective way of doing things. Now, if the guy who is the or the girl, the woman, the man, whoever.
If it's the best guy in the world and you've got an in because of that, by all means.
Awesome.
And some of it is just. Some of it is because of what they see as lack of resume in other places, too. Because, I mean, if Ross Bjork left tomorrow for the wherever, people would be over the moon about Danny White replacing him.
Yeah.
Because they see him as being successful and great at PR and all the things that, frankly, they think Ole Miss has struggled at so much over the last decade.
Yeah.
So it depends on the person, obviously.
And then the other name that always gets thrown out on that is Walker Jones, just right away. And we like Walker. I know Walker, yeah. But Walker's never been an AD.
Walker's doing quite well right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think the days of Walker Jones being particularly interested in that job are over. Walker's making a lot of money flying around the world with
Bryce Harper and Jordan Spieth and Steph Curry.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Cam Newton.
The top golfers in the world. And
yeah.
His main baseball client's about to get $400 million somewhere. Steph Curry pretty much gets whatever he wants whenever he wants it. I mean, he's kind of got a good gig.
Cam has lost three in a row.
I thought of you when I saw that score.
One more win. I think the division's clinched. I was nervous about that a couple weeks ago.
Yes,
you were. It was bothering me.
Someone told you you shouldn't be.
Well, I didn't know they were going to lose three in a row. Anyway, I'll mention some playoff standings in a minute. But anyway, as we get to this part of the break, I will tell you the podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is in Memphis. Are getting local underwriting. Understands your market, a leader in condo financing, and the float down option. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLo at communitymtg.com. Podcast also brought to you by G&M Pharmacy, located there on South Lamar in Oxford. Still time to get that flu shot. Go in now. Get the flu shot. Walk-ins are welcome. It's $25 without insurance. It is free if you have a major insurance provider. Maybe you want to let them take care of all your pharmaceutical needs. Go in. Let them handle that for you. They deliver local in the Oxford area. That's G&M Pharmacy on South Lamar.
Podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, that is the place to go. It's located just off Interstate 55 in Grenada, Mississippi. Grenada Nissan has a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. Go in, test drive one today. Tell Gene and Sandy that you heard about Grenada Nissan on the podcast. You heard about Grenada Nissan at rebelgrove.com, and you'll get Rebel savings on top of the already great deals at Grenada Nissan. We're also brought to you by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. If you've been thinking about that golf trip with the guys, an anniversary trip coming up, you've dreamed of playing golf at St. Andrews, sitting at a cafe in Paris, maybe you're thinking about your spring break or your summer, the cruises in the Caribbean, resorts in Florida. Maybe you're wanting to go get one of those elusive golf courses in Scotland and Ireland for next summer. Get in touch with John. He's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows him to supply his clients with added values and unique benefits that are simply not available to other travelers. John traveled the globe for 37 years before getting into the travel business. He knows the extra attention that's needed to make a special trip one that creates a lifetime of unique memories. Here's how it works. You call John. You give him parameters. Hey, we got a week. Got 4 days. Got 8 days. We're willing to spend X. How many people? How many nights? All of that stuff. Give him some parameters. Give him a budget. Give him an idea of roughly what you want to do. And he'll give you some options. You don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. You will get more from him than you'll ever find for yourself online. That's just the way it works. 901-494-3387 or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. We're also brought to you by the Westin Jackson. Restore serenity to your soul. Visit Soul Spa, the ultimate luxury spa experience in downtown Jackson. Indulge in personalized massages, signature facials, soothing body treatments, and much more on their extensive spa list. Escape from the everyday and rejuvenate yourself in their luxury spa today. And then go downstairs to Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro. Sip on a creative craft cocktail. Enjoy their curated wine list. It's open for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch. Chef Caden's mission is to connect guests with the community through local partnerships. So gather at Estelle tonight.
Anything else on that?
No, I just, it's funny. People say to us, you know, why are y'all being, we don't get this a lot. We get two things. Why aren't y'all being harder? Because I know it's complicated. I'll be honest. I am surprised that they only made one personnel move after the game.
Yeah, I expected more immediately because I think it's only seven coaches on the road at a time. You've got enough for that. You could always move Siski to the road for a little while.
I thought that was somewhat insulting.
Thought that was a little strange. And then what the story moving forward here in the next, you know, days, I would assume, is – you know, not just this press conference tomorrow or what's going on major, but what do you – A, are you extending Matt back out to 4 years?
Yes.
And B, what does that do to whatever this buyout language is?
Yes.
I've tried to get the buyout language to the IHL. I think they're probably violating state law at this point, to be honest.
They haven't responded to you. It's been a month.
Yeah.
They don't care.
So I don't know, but whatever it is, does that change with it? Does it change the amount of money owed him if his tenure is not fulfilled in the end of the contract? Because, you know, I'm far from a contracts attorney, but you could always add years without increasing buyout language. Yeah. There's no necessity that the buyout language has to go up with the contract length. So
they need to be, again,
there's ways to solve all of the, it was a lot like the Andy Kennedy thing last year. You know, you can always just go, hey, you got 4 years on a contract, but your buyout's staying at whatever that number is.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a possibility here. Let's not act like it's not possible.
Yeah, not to get back into that, but exactly. That's exactly what happened. And be transparent about it. Yeah, the buyout is X. The buyout stayed the same. Or come out publicly and say, look, no matter what happens on the field, this is our coach for the next X years. 2 years, 3 years. Of course, that begs the question, well, what, is the new chancellor going to – that's part of what makes this interesting. There's a vacuum of leadership. Vitter's gone. No one knows what Sparks is going to do. Is Sparks walking in with a machete, or is Sparks walking in just kind of maintaining things?
Got a lot of donors pissed off right now, just in general.
Yeah.
Got to handle that somehow.
You know, look, you got to sell tickets next year. There is a financial aspect of this that is on the other side. Can you afford to do nothing? And I don't know the answer to that. Can you afford to do nothing? The schedule's weird next year.
Yeah, weird's the way.
They go to Memphis to open the season. You and I talked about this. It's funny how people do this traditional thing of that's a win, that's a loss. Look, Memphis is a winnable football game. It's a losable football game. Good Ole Miss teams have gone to the Liberty Bowl and lost.
The two best teams.
Yeah. And this is not going to be a good Ole Miss team. This is, and early in the season, this is going to be an incredibly inexperienced Ole Miss team. At least three offensive line starters will be new, maybe four. A redshirt freshman quarterback who has played extensively in one SEC game.
Really no meaningful snaps.
Until the state game.
Yeah, but yeah. Even then,
yeah.
Score was what it was.
True.
Your wide receivers are, because you're going to lose three now. DK's already claimed for sure. Your wide receiver, you've got Elijah, Miles, and Braylon, I guess, leading the way.
Yeah. Very inexperienced. There's talk about Dawson Knox and his future.
Yeah.
Cooley's
back.
Yeah. Not a particularly deep team. It's going to be young. They open the season on the road against a program that is one win away from a McKenzie Milton-less UCF from winning the AAC. I don't think that the coach is leaving. And that's going to be a pretty stable program that Ole Miss runs into that day, and they will get geeked up to play Ole Miss. Except for the fact that Ole Miss has no kids from Memphis on their team, so there won't be any like internal rivalry thing going on there. Was that subtle?
Like a sledgehammer.
Absolutely ridiculous that you have no players from Memphis on your roster. It's inexcusable. It's a question that's going to get asked tomorrow.
And then home games against Arkansas and Cal, too, in the next 3 weeks after that.
You know, you should beat Arkansas. But the reality is Ole Miss doesn't always beat Arkansas, and this was the worst Arkansas team in modern history, and Ole Miss barely beat it. And it won, and it counts, but it was close. And if you don't think the game in Oxford will be contested, you're wrong. And if
quarterbacks Ole Miss, Ty Story or Kelly Bryant, I guess?
I would think. Yeah. Now, the rumor is Auburn's big on Kelly Bryant right now, yeah.
Okay.
That Auburn and Mississippi State are back in on Kelly Bryant big time.
The Auburn family has taken over with that.
Yeah, did I give you your check today?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm making sure.
Yeah.
It was a little more this month.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, so that's where they are. You win, you lose those two games. Those are losable football games. They're winnable. They're winnable. You could start 2-0. That is absolutely on the table. Don't kid yourself. 0-2 is on the table as well.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
And if you start 0-2, I'm going to tell you, if you don't handle this optics of stability up front at 0-2, all of the hot seat stuff, the fire under that seat will be perceived to be a burning inferno, and I don't know that you'll be able to handle it. They've got to have, I've said it so many times, and man, it proved to be one of the few things I've ever really gotten right. They've got to have a great offseason.
Well, part of it's because the back half is so hard that no matter what you do early on, you kind of got to do a lot just to sort of tread water, because you got Memphis and Arkansas, Southeast Louisiana. So, yeah, look, 3-0 is on the table. 1-2 is on the table. It's somewhere in the middle of that. They go to they got Cal back at home. We already mentioned that. So potentially 4-0, potentially 1-3. Again, who knows? Go to Alabama. Then you got a Vanderbilt game at home that, again, you should win, but who knows what's up with Vanderbilt. But that's probably a win. But after that, at Missouri, pretty good football team, frankly. And Drew Locke's gone. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know who the quarterback is. But not a bad football team. A&M, Auburn, LSU, and State on that back half around a New Mexico State game at Vaught Hemingway in November. But it's tough on the back. I mean, when you start even doing the win-loss thing, if you got really optimistic, you still kind of come back to that 5-6 range because of what's on the back half of it.
And back to my point, if you don't address it up front, if you gamble on, well, okay, we think we're going to win, what if you don't? I'll paint you a scenario that's not completely off the table. And I don't think this is how they'll start. What if they start 1-4? Lose at Memphis. Lose to Arkansas, beat Southeastern Louisiana, lose to Cal, lose at Alabama. 1-4. They have two home games in October, if I'm correct. It's Texas A&M and Vanderbilt, maybe not in that order.
Yeah, they come home after Alabama to play Vanderbilt.
What's the crowd?
October 5th.
What's the crowd like on October 5th if Ole Miss is 1-4?
Northwest,
for Vanderbilt.
Northwestern State kind of crowd.
You have a SEC home game against a team that does not travel. An SEC home game against a team that does not travel, you're 1-4, and you've done nothing to address anything. How many people are in the stadium for First Finn?
Yeah.
10,000? You got issues, man. They got it. They cannot roll those dice. You've got to bring in the right staff, and you've got to start addressing things that you're in the – look, you're in business. You're in a scoreboard business, and you're in a butts in seats business. I always hate that term. It's not just butts. It's the whole body.
Well, the butt's touching the seat.
The butt touches the seat, but so does the leg. I mean, whatever. You want people in seats. You want people in the stadium, bodies in the stadium, butts and all. You want people in the stadium. And if they're not there, you lose. And they got to fix that. And I think that's where we get back to what we talked about at the beginning. They're just the loss of confidence. You got to get that back. You get that back by being transparent. Passionate.
Fans don't feel like anybody's taken ownership, that they've apologized, that they've taken accountability for it. I think they've tried at times, but I think that's been that's the way the fans feel.
Yeah, they want transparency.
Yeah. How did we get here and what do we do?
Yeah. How did we get here? Tell me how you think we got here. I'll tell you how we got here. They want to hear that if you had it to do over again, you might have fought some things differently with the NCAA. They're still mad about that. How'd you get here? How did you end up making the hire you made? And now that he's the guy, what's he going to do? Why did he keep Wesley McGriff after last year? Why did they roll his contract over?
Extra $1 million.
You know, frankly, why is Maurice Harris still on the staff? That's a legitimate question. I'm sorry, but it is. He can hate me. I'm going to be transparent here. That's what people say. Why are we not recruiting Memphis any better than we are? How did that happen? And what are we going to do about it? That's what people want to know.
If you're Western Kentucky, you hire Hugh Freeze?
Yes. And if I'm Hugh Freeze, I take that job with bells and whistles. Now, Chris Lowe says that Hugh's not the leading candidate.
Yeah, I saw that too.
And I'll trust Chris here. He knows the people at Western Kentucky.
Yeah.
But yes, if I'm Western Kentucky.
If you're Middle or Western Kentucky, Hugh Freeze would be a good hire.
Yes. And I tell him day one, get off Twitter. And I know people close to him have. Get off Twitter and just coach football.
Western Kentucky's not real worried about all kind of stuff. Rick Stansbury's on the staff.
Yeah. That's a perfect place. You can rebuild yourself. Do it. Do it the right way. Get off Twitter. Quit tweeting out Bible verses and telling people how you're changing people's lives and go win football games at a place where you can win.
Yeah, they can be a decent team in the Sun Belt.
They can be a dominant team in the Sun Belt. You can and Hugh has won the Sun Belt before. Hugh's a good football coach, but he let stuff get away from him. The people who clamor for Hugh Freeze to return to Ole Miss are the ones that, man, y'all boggle my mind. I don't get it. Dusty Baker came close to winning a pennant with the Cubs. I don't want him anywhere near that pitching staff.
You don't. You good. What's Dusty doing now?
He's out of the game.
Is he done?
Yeah. I think he's an analyst for somebody or something.
He's getting a little older now. It's
getting long in the toothpick.
Yeah. Getting on up there. Okay.
You know how he always does the toothpick.
Yeah, long in the toothpick.
So I was just good. Trying to be funny.
That was pretty good.
Let's see. I'll ask Siri how old Dusty Baker
is. It doesn't really matter.
Siri in a while. Hey, Siri, how old is Dusty Baker?
According to my sources, Dusty Baker is 25 years old.
Well, that is not correct.
That is not true. He is. Dusty Baker is a defensive back at Weber State.
That's the one she pulled.
That's who she pulled. Actually, she's a basketball player.
Really? Is that not a little weird?
That is weird.
I wonder why she pulled that one. Because he's out of the game?
I guess so.
You think that's what it is?
Maybe.
That's strange. He's 69.
69. That's nice.
Yeah, he's 69. All right. So let's see. Where do I want to go? Costa. I got too much time. I got left. Couple minutes. Quickly, not many games. Odds for the week. Are we doing Pick'em this week?
Hell yes.
Are we? We're not just stopping?
No.
It's over.
It's not over.
It is over.
It's not
the
over.
The crown awaits. It's
the crown might await, but it is not over. We have an agreement with Larry Clark Chevrolet GMC Cadillac Buick. It ain't over.
So you're saying this is not strictly editorial procedure at this point.
I'm saying it ain't over till the contract says it's over.
Right. Fair enough. let's see. What we got? We got a Pac-12 championship game between Washington and Utah. That's going to put the butts in seats, speaking of. 3.5, the Huskies over the Utes is the line in that one.
Washington's defense just embarrassed Washington State.
It was snowing, but yes.
Yes.
It
was snowing for the other team, too.
They've done it multiple years in a row, too. Did you see the defensive coordinator's quotes?
Yes.
He was quite pointed. A little arrogant there at that mind.
Yeah, for the people that want Mike Leach, those were quotes that you probably should read.
It was – you know, it's kind of like, you know, everybody really – and, again, he may get it. He might not even be in the running. No idea. You know, it's a lot like it. You can kind of make any stat, say what you want, with Jay Bateman, the Army defensive coordinator. They're a top 10 national defense in yards per game. Army leads the nation in time of possession, and his yards per play stats are, frankly, very similar to Ole Miss against a schedule that is what it is. So it's just sort of when you broke that down, you kind of raised your eyebrow a little bit and went,
I know nothing about Bateman. So I'm going to be careful with how I say
this
because I'll watch the Army-Navy game, and I'll watch it with a little more interest this time perhaps.
Of course.
But – when I hear the word unorthodox, I get just a little uncomfortable. Not bad, but a little.
It's fair.
Because I'm in the minority that doesn't think you have to have a gimmick to win. I think you have to have players.
Now, because of your ability to get players, you then come out to the – you know what I mean? It's sort of chicken or the egg a little bit. I mean, there's a lot of schools in the SEC that don't need to go, hey, look, we're going to run this pro-style thing, and we're going to run it right up the middle. No. Only a couple teams can do that now, guys. But anyway, South Carolina making up their game from the weather one earlier in the year. They play Akron. They are a 28- or 29-point favorite against the Zips. And that one, we get a Red River rivalry rematch this week for the Big 12 championship game. Oklahoma -6 against the Texas Longhorns is the open.
A hell of a football game.
It's now gone up to 7.5. It opened at 6. It's at 7.5.
Be a great game. Where's that one?
That's in Dallas, isn't it? Don't they do there?
Or is
it,
yeah,
I think it's Dallas.
Yeah.
Okay. Pretty sure I'm right. UAB, been a pretty good story all year. They're a 1.5-point underdog to Middle Tennessee in the Conference USA Championship game. The Sun Belt Championship is Appalachian State, as we already mentioned. They are 19-point favorites over the University of Louisiana at Lafayette on the week. The Stanford Cardinal is a 2.5-point favorite over Cal, if you're just interested. The AAC Championship game, UCF still a 7-point favorite over Memphis, despite Mackenzie Milton being out. So, little surprised by that line there.
Yeah, I'm too.
Alabama minus 10.5 against the Georgia Bulldogs. It's going up to 13 now. 10.5 to 13 in that one. You've got Clemson and Pittsburgh in the ACC title game.
Yuck.
Clemson a 20-point favorite as the open. It's up to 26. And then the Big Ten championship. Your last game of the day to kick off is the Big Ten championship game. You got to play that thing at 11. We've been playing at 11 all year. Let's play the championship game at 11 too. Instead, that's a 7 o'clock first kick on Saturday night. Northwestern is getting 14 against the Ohio State Buckeyes.
We're gonna get them.
Gonna get them.
We're gonna get them.
Gonna like win the net par competition. So you're gonna cover. You're gonna stay inside 14.
Yep.
Is that what's gonna happen?
Yep.
Not gonna win the game.
Probably not.
Probably not.
But we're in that game.
Okay. Whatever you say. Podcast brought to you in part by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. Christmas right around the corner. Thanksgiving's over, so it's time now. They want to make your home a festive staple of the neighborhood. Lighting and garland, inflatable characters, whatever your vision may be, they'll help you design a custom display unique to your home. And the best part is all the decorations you pay for, you'll own them. They'll keep and store the decorations until they're ready to go up the next year or give them to you to keep. The option is yours. So create that tradition today with MasterCuts. 662-607-7773.
My post-game columns and this podcast are sponsored by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust is based in Madison, Mississippi, but it represents clients in 24 states and has advisors in 3 states. Founded in 1997, Pinnacle Trust provides detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much more. At Pinnacle Trust, investing is treated like a commodity, and decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotions. So regardless of your level of wealth, Pinnacle Trust will sit down with you, listen to your goals, study your expenses, and put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan. Cookie-cutter financial planners put you in a box. Pinnacle Trust builds a box just for you. To learn more about Pinnacle Trust, go to pintrust.com. That's PINNtrust.com. Mention that you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the podcast, and you'll get 10%. Off your first year's fee. We're also brought to you by Dead Soxy. You're looking for that Christmas stocking stuffer? Dead Soxy has it. Go to deadsoxy.com/rebels. Go to deadsoxy.com, and the socks are fantastic. They're made of bamboo. They stay soft. They stay up. They're the best dress sock you'll ever wear. They'll prove it to you. Order a pair. If you don't like them, let them know. They'll send you your money back, and you can keep the socks. Guess what? You'll like them. They're fantastic. They also now have them in the Rebel colors, 8 different varieties, limited quantity available. So get on those today. They make a great corporate gift as well. The special socks, the corporate socks, are the exact same quality of sock as that Rebel sock. So give them a shot to try try out the brand. It's $20, but except you enter promo code Rebel Grove at checkout and you get 25% off. So using my ULM math skills, that makes it a $15 pair of fantastic dress socks. You can't beat that. You can't beat that at department stores. That's great. You'll love it. DeadSoxy.com, promo code Rebel Grove at checkout for 25% off your order. And this week in Ole Miss sports, you might be wondering what's going on. Well, the 2018-19 men's hoop season is going. Don't miss out on the new Pavilion Mini Pack for just $65. Tickets include games to Tennessee, Auburn, and select non-league games, as packages are fully customizable based on your schedule. For more info, visit olemisssports.com and click the tickets link. The Ole Miss women's hoops team is back in action on Thursday. They host TCU at 8 p.m. Tickets can be purchased at
OleMissTicks.com. The Ole Miss men's team returns to the pavilion on Wednesday as they take on San Diego at 6:30. That's Chris Bryant's alma mater. I've heard from sources that he's coming, so he and I will visit at the game. Tickets can be purchased by visiting OleMissTicks.com. And then on Saturday, it's a powder blue out on Saturday as Ole Miss hosts Harvard on the Bayou. That game begins at 1 p.m. The Rebels will wear their new powder blue uniforms. Tickets can be purchased by visiting OleMissTicks.com.
I had something Ole Miss related before I went to something else, and now it slipped my mind. So, good. That's good. I don't know. It was something fairly important, too, that I wanted to hit. Oh, I know what it was. I guess it wasn't necessarily important, but it is something I wanted to mention.
Okay.
We have beaten this drum for a long time. Really long time.
We have or have not?
Have.
Okay.
A year ago, 1 week ago, we made a whole week of content out of it. State started their Egg Bowl tour of the state yesterday.
Yes.
Got the pickup truck with the wrap or whatever on it and maroon and the trophy and take the bulldog and everything. It's why this thing should have been left there last year. It's why at some point you just sort of disengage from it because you play right into their hands. You're a pig in slop with them when you do this. They're just going to keep one-upping it. You're doing exactly what they want because it allows them to go even higher and even more and even more and become even more obnoxious with it.
When you lose.
It's going to be up to Ole Miss to de-emphasize this thing.
Mississippi State, when it loses that game, they hate to lose it. But they feel so good the next day when Ole Miss tweets it out and when Ole Miss takes the tour, takes the egg everywhere, has every recruit come in and picture with the egg. They hate that they lost it, but, man, you're fueling it. And Ole Miss fueled it over the last year, Chase. They fueled it. And Ole Miss, when they won that game in Starkville last year, planted the flag in the ground. There's video. You had to know State was going to do the same thing. Ole Miss will never do it because the people that run the program get so wrapped up in it. The next time you win that game, leave the damn trophy on the field. Just leave it there. Leave it there. And if you win it in Starkville, just leave it there. It'll be the most awkward. It's the worst thing you could ever do to them. Leave it there. Don't throw it over the stadium. Leave it there. Wherever they bring it out, put it on a table or whatnot so that you can run get it. Don't give them that. And I know to kids like C.J. Johnson and A.J. Brown and whoever might come next, it's a big deal to beat Mississippi State. And that's going to be an emotional thing. Leave it there. And then when people say, what are you doing with it? We're done. We want no part of the Egg Bowl trophy anymore. They can put it in a museum. They can keep it. They can dress it up. They can play parade with it. It's theirs. Have it. We're done with it. Some people will call you petty. Smarter people will go, okay. When I started this
Send it to the Mississippi Sports Hall of Fame and then tell State if they want it, they're going to get it out of the case when they win it the next time.
Do whatever you want. Just say we're done with it. Say we're not touching it again. Because it's in Starkville now. If I'm Ole Miss, I never touch that trophy again. But I damn sure win the game. But I'll tell you this. I've been on this beat since March of 2008. And when I got here in March of 2008, this game was not to Ole Miss what it has become now. And I know there's a lot to that. But like you said, I'm glad you said it, not me. Y'all played into their hands, y'all being the Ole Miss administration. You have absolutely followed their playbook to a T.
Yeah, it just hit me last night. I saw some pictures and different things of the state caravan or whatever it is they're doing. So,
let them have it.
Quickly, just because we mentioned this about once a week, so we'll do it on Monday or Tuesday. As it gets in, I know there's a lot of interest. NFL playoff picture. To close, for those of you who did not watch much yesterday, I don't know that I watched a snap of NFL football yesterday.
I didn't see much at all. Carson had soccer practice, and I went to Lost Pizza and worked on 10 Thoughts and had a beer.
I get more done in that hour and a half. It's unbelievable. I don't know why, but there was Buffalo and Jacksonville, I think, were on TV. But it was a distraction, but I didn't really watch.
So should it end today? It doesn't. Still got weeks to go. But if it should end today,
5 weeks left.
Kansas City and New England would get your top two seeds in the AFC.
Yep.
And then the Texans would host the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay.
And the Pittsburgh Steelers, losers yesterday, would host the LA Chargers in a first round game.
It'd be a good game.
It'd be a good game. Yeah. So Chiefs, Patriots, Texans, Steelers, Chargers, Ravens. The Indianapolis Colts are tied for the last wild card spot, but the Ravens have it. But based on win percentage and conference games, is the tiebreaker there for that?
Has
game.
Been good to see Andrew Luck back and healthy.
He's been very good,
playing well. And yeah. It's a neat story.
Colts at 6-5, and then still in it at 5-6. The Titans are at 5-5, and the Dolphins at 5-6, Bengals at 5-6, Broncos at 5-6.
Yeah,
still kind of in it. And the NFC. Courtesy of the Rams' bye week, the Saints have taken over the top spot in the NFC. It would be Saints, Rams 1-2, and then the Chicago Bears would host the Washington Redskins, and the Dallas Cowboys would host the Minnesota Vikings. The Seattle Seahawks and the Carolina Panthers are also tied for that last wild card spot, or actually for both wild cards, but no, for the last one. And just a bunch of tiebreakers are deciding that.
Right.
And that's about it, other than you want to bring the Eagles in at 5-6. I think the Packers at 4-6-1 are in trouble, probably out at this point.
I would
say
so.
But other ones still in it.
Bears have played well.
They got a really good defensive game and got enough on Thursday while also benefiting from running into a really bad team while
sure.
you had your quarterback out. But that's
sure.
part of it.
Part of it.
Yeah. They did what they had to do. They've got a huge game coming against the Rams here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, they get the Giants on Saturday, a game they should win. That would get them to 9-3, and then mm-hmm. they have a real opportunity against the Rams to
actually complicate that two seed a little bit there.
Get in the mix, yeah.
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 Which would be duh.
Sure.
So, duh. You get the week off more than anything else.
The week off, and you get a game in Chicago.
Yeah.
And you got a decent chance in January of weather being a factor in Chicago. Because I was in Chicago mid-January last year, and it was cold, and that wind was blowing.
It snowed NFC title game that year, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And it was cold.
Yeah. I thought I remember that.
That walk back from Soldier Field to the hotel was...
Really?
It was a walk. It was cold.
Yeah. So, anyway, it's kind of what the news is right now. We will be back tomorrow. Again, take advantage of that Cyber 99 if you haven't done so. And then check RebelGrove.com. We got 10 weekend thoughts. Russell's got recruiting coming today. I'm going to give some final snap count, great analysis stuff later today as well, courtesy of our friends at Pro Football Focus. And we will talk to you tomorrow.